Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them?" But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice answered a second time from heaven, 'God has made clean. Do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. Behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto our feet. Our second reading is from the revelation given to St. John, the 21st chapter. And we begin reading at verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said it to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto our feet. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself. Glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text is from the book of Revelation, our epistle lesson earlier. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God." This is our text. If you would, I'd like you to take out your hymnals and turn to page 200, and I believe it's 74, toward the end of the rite of confirmation. Actually, page 273. And the pastor says something, and the confirmands in a little bit will respond with something. And I want you to go down 1, 2, 3, 4 to the fifth response, okay? You all there? Agree with me. Yes. Thank you. I want you to read it along with me, the pastor's portion, and then hopefully we can all respond, "I do by the grace of God." Let's read it together. "Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? I do by the grace of God." Confirmands are going to be saying that in a few minutes, and if you were confirmed at some point in your life, you said it as well, or something like it. What's the other time in life where you make a commitment unto death? Marriage. Confirmands? This is like getting married. You may not have thought about it that way, but it is kind of like that. In fact, if you read throughout Scripture, God is constantly comparing his relationship to us in wedding-type language. For instance, what we just read from the book of Revelation. "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." You know, despite the fact that in our world today, the whole understanding of marriage has drifted from what God describes it to be in Scripture, nevertheless, there is actually within all of humanity, despite our sin, a yearning for what God first created back in the Garden of Eden, the relationship between man and woman. There is within the heart of all human beings a yearning for it. You know, what evidence can we present outside of Scripture? Just look at all of human history. Marriage, not just among Jews or Christians, but a lifelong commitment between one man and one woman, has been in all cultures. For all of history. Oh, yes, yeah, it's abused in many ways. But nevertheless, it always seems to be the norm. We weren't created, to quote from Scripture, to be alone. When God first created Adam, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suited for him." That's why men leave their mothers and women leave their homes, and they cleave to one another. How long? Till death do us part. What kind of relationship does God want to have with you for the rest of your lives? And not just for these confirmands here, but for all of us gathered here. He doesn't just want to be a thought in your mind. Someone that you have an occasional conversation with, mostly only when you're in trouble and you don't know what to do. And when one day we stand in our heavenly homes, it's not just going to be a home that we built for ourselves. Well, this is my house, that's your house, and we all just sort of do our own thing. And maybe once in a while we visit God and say hi to him because, after all, he's been nice to us. Remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples about the fact that he was going to have to leave them? John chapter 6, or excuse me, John chapter 14. "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. My Father's house, many rooms." Not everybody knows this, but that's actually wedding language. When a Jewish bride was married to her husband, one of the first things he did was to take her to the Father's house. That's where they would live at first. And prior to marriage, one of the things that husbands busied themselves with was building a special room, not separate from where their father lived, but within the father's house. Spend his first day with his bride, all as part of one family. My dear confirmants, God wants to be married to you. Do you know what that means? Great Lutheran question. Do you know what that means? It means that he wants to be with you, not just on occasional moments in your life, but he wants to be with you daily and weekly and yearly. And that, for all of us, is the life that God died in the person of Jesus. To have that kind of life with us. Unfortunately, that isn't the type of life that all people really want to live with God. In a few moments, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. Do this. Fill in the blank for me, would you? Do this. Do this to remember me. You know, what's one of the things that when you're a family, you do together? You eat together. Once a year around Christmas and then maybe again at Easter? No. It's a regular part of your life. That's just what families do. And although we can't experience yet in these sinful shells of ours the fullness of what that life is to be, as we often sing with regard to the celebration of the feast, it's a foretaste of the feast to come. And when your confirmation was over with, it's not anything like a graduation. No more than marriage is like a graduation. It's an inauguration into a deeper relationship with your Heavenly Father and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This, my friends, is the life God sent his Son to die for, that he might give it to us. To love his word, to love hearing his voice, not just once in a blue moon, not just as a memory inside of our heads. Oh, yeah, I remember hearing that a long time ago. But daily, weekly, constantly, throughout our lives, seeking out that voice because we love to hear it. That's what marriage is actually like. Loving to be around each other, loving to hear each other's voices, loving to spend time together, gathered around a table. And then one day to have others join in that relationship, to have other family members. You all have brothers and sisters, right? Do you get along with them all the time? If you can't see, their heads are going like this. What do you do about that? Well, if you're in a family, you figure it out. Because family is family. And how long does family last? It's always family. You can't get rid of them, even if you don't like them. And good parents will do everything they can to bring about unity and love within that family. I mean, after all, if you're all living in the same roof, the same father's house, you got to figure out a way to get along. My dear friends in Christ, and especially you confirmants, Christ Jesus died to pay for your sins. He rose again that you might have eternal life. That tells us how much God loves us and how committed we are, or He is, to us. But if you truly do value what God has done for you, then you also need to know why He did all that He did. And it's not so that you could go your way and He could go His. It's not so that every now and again He might have an opportunity to hang out with you. If we truly believe in Christ, then there's actually only one life that we can have with Him. He offers us no other. And this is the life. To be in relationship with God, like a wife is in relationship with her husband. To live together, this is how confirmation and baptism are kind of even greater than marriage. Not just till death do us part, but forever and ever. Amen. As you take your confirmation vows today, and as you remember your confirmation day, or contemplate your relationship with Christ, remember always why God redeemed you. And the life, the only life that He offers to you through faith in Him. That life, like the one described here in Revelation, like that between a husband and a bride. The Church of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.